particular episode was made, they didn't have to go far to make it look real, you know, as that they traveled back in time, but because everything was, it was real time then. But one thing you have to keep in mind is that these are movies, and they're created on a set, and whatever the writers and people that do the scripting and all that, it's all scripted, and it's just something for us to prior entertainment, more so than anything else. Just, they don't try to be too factual in it as far as that goes. But I agree with you, Andy. I've got VHS tapes. I got a whole bunch of them in there. I got a whole bunch of DVDs. And I've got, I don't know. I've got some 8-track tapes, Andy. I guess you might have some of those too. But I've even got an 8-track player that still works.
Okay, more hell's the guy. No, you go back a little bit further before even I started taking interest. I don't have any of the 8-track. Larry probably does, but I don't. But I've got some transferred over from VHS to DVD, but I ain't got them all. This is starting to happen. Well, you can't find cleaner for the DVD players, and Larry told me a while back it's looking more and more like the only way I'm going to be able to keep my player going. It looks like it's a lot of effort and all, but it's starting to look like I ain't going to have much other choice.
That was something else, if they haven't already, there's something smaller or something that gives better quality or who knows what. But I've got vinyl albums. I've got some most of them are 33 and a third, but I've got some older albums that are 78s. And so I've got those, and then I've got 8-track players and tapes, and I've got cassettes and DVDs or CDs, and as the industry has changed, I've just bought whatever I needed to kind of keep up with the changes, but I still kept my old stuff. My son comes in and he looks at the entertainment center and he says, "Dad, what are you still doing with a VHS tape player over there?" I said, "Because I still watch my VHS tapes."
Well, I got an old one my dad had before he passed away. I got an old analog VHS player over here. It's in pretty good shape, but it dates to about 1998-99, and the tuner in it for analog, analog TV channels. And the only way to make that thing possibly work, like I said, I can't get the cleaner for that either. I would probably have to run it through a converter box to even make that work. And y'all was talking also earlier about the old C-Rays, like that. That reminds me of something 4, 5, 6 years ago Ray Allison said. On all these digital channels we got now, the first one to be your main thing, then 2 or 3 or 4 down the line is usually where they run the reruns at, of different things from many, 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 many decades ago.
Hey, Dave, I was talking to another ham, and I told him, I said, I've seen a lot of these digital TV antennas advertised. I said, I was just wondering how good they were and how many stations you could pick up with an outside antenna. And he looked at me, kind of made an ugly face, and he said, do you have antennas up at your house? I said, yeah. He said, you do have VHF and UHF, right? And I said, yeah. He said, hook them up to your TV. And I said, duh.
Bill's the guy. Well, that's kind of like this old antenna here that my family uses. It's an old analog TV antenna here. It is. And we're in this bad location, unless it's up on this mountain here that we're talking through the repeater on, or Sassafras, or Glassy Mountain. You know, if it ain't on some of those mountains there, we're not going to get it here very well at all. Even then, and still use it, as I say, that old analog antenna. They are here on the digital side, but long before the digital was even changed over, we had to put a preamp out there, out back, with the main part up on the mast, just to get WSPA, and to get anything, getting stuff off of Paris Mountain was a hit and miss proposition, it was. And Channel 13 WLOS, and this is still back in the analog days, is almost impossible. And I've kind of messed around with it some since everything went digital. Some things have changed, but some things don't. And like I've said, you probably know it better than me. Whether it's on here on the commercial TV channels, DMR, or whatever all these various first responders now use, you either get the signal or you don't get the signal. There's no in-between on this digital.
Right on that, Andy. They're getting it down and cutting the bandwidth down and streamlining it to the point where it's not... Well, it's not broadband at all anymore. It's real narrow. And, if you get it, you get it. If you don't, you don't. But that's the way that it's going, I guess. But I haven't tried my antennas yet to see how many TV channels I can get. But, TV antennas... They're just little bitty things, and most of them have got a little preamp in there. Well, I don't have any preamps, but I've got big antennas, so maybe one will compensate for the other. I don't know. I'll try that one of these days and let you know how it all works out. But it'd be like using an analog antenna on the digital frequencies. But. Things are changing, and we have to try to keep up with the changes as best we can. And I'm with you. All this real fancy stuff, I don't use. Some of it I've got here at the house. I can use if I so choose. But I'd rather turn a knob and push a button and then go through a bunch of menus.
For LZI. My problem is like Larry told me about how it's going to have to do that, you know. It'll probably work, but it's going to be aggravating as the devil every time I try to put a DVD in that player in there. I've got another thing in there. One side was VHS. The analog I was talking about was one my dad had back in 99, but one in there that had VHS on one side and a DVD on the right side, and that DVD part on the right side is what I'm talking about. What he was telling me can probably be done, no doubt, but it will be aggravating as the devil, and because I haven't been able to find anything like that, I just hadn't played many lately. We keep hoping something will come up, but as we said about advances, it's like, I don't know if you've noticed it or not, over here with our first responders in Pickens County, county's gone off analog, has gone off analog. That detective analog frequency that used to be on analog, that's gone. And that frequency that Easley City, Liberty City, and Pickens City used to use, it's gone. All that remains now still on analog is the county fire departments and the admin rescue frequency. And this has changed here, I guess, over the past 3 or 4 months.
They're just trying to keep up with the times. And they're trying to get away from other stuff that people have listened to for a long time. They don't want you listening to all of that stuff. They don't want you to know where the deputies are going or where the EMS is going or that sort of thing. I don't really know why it makes any difference, but yeah, they're trying to make everything secret, I guess.
JI4LZI, I don't know how much of Greenville County has actually been encrypted. One person told me it's all encrypted when they went digital, and some have told me just parts of it. I don't know, but the parts that's analog that I've had in this scanner here all the years before they changed over, I have yet to hear anything back on that. So it's my assumption they went, they in Greenville County encrypted their stuff.
They'll do it less than the Blue Ridge 2-meter net. For KI4LZI, Mr. Andy up here at Table Rock. Well, that I don't know about, Andy. I'll have to see what I can find out, but I was under the impression that they were just encrypting certain portions of it. They changed some of the frequencies, but I don't know about the encryption, but I'll see what I can find out.
Tells the guy, well, that's how I found out about 2 meters many, many decades ago, listening on such as that, but the only thing other than what I mentioned over here that hadn't changed over, and I hadn't listened up in Transylvania much right lately, but last I knew up there in Transylvania County, they were still analog. And Brevard up there was still analog in the VHF high band. Now, that may have changed by now, too, because everybody is changing. I just hope, like I said, when it comes to first responder frequencies, it could cause someone their life. And if they don't get the signal, say it's up near Rocky Bottom or someplace like that up there, it could cause someone their, or say someone's up there in the horse pasture hunting, and they don't get the signal like they should, it could cause someone their life. So I just hope when all these counties and city municipalities done this switching, they knew what they were doing, because at some point it could cost someone their life if it's on a real important frequency. KI4LZI.
Oh, that, I believe I will say this. Some of them people think they know everything, and they've got, they're like an ostrich. They got their head in the sand so deep that they don't know if they come and go or done being. I'm with you. I hope they got their ducks in a row, especially with the first responders and that sort of thing. I've had to use the first responders and the EMS and these guys that came and took care of me. I'm telling you what's the truth. They were Johnny on the spot. Just here really quick, and I can't complain about them at all. But there again, I don't know, what kind of system they're using, and I didn't ask them. All I know is it worked.
For LZI, I assume it was Pickens County responding. And your heart attack, if I remember, was what, 2 or 3 years ago? They were still using analog over here at that time. this that I'm talking about here over here has been taking place over the past 3 or 4 months over here in Pickens County. And like I said, the only thing I hear now, analog, county fire, the admin rescue frequency, and that's, I hear the Clemson University police. But as far as hearing anything else, it's gone. Long gone. I don't want to keep you up here all night. I've already racked you the lot, but I was just wondering also about DTY as well, and y'all was talking about Star Trek, and I've got some of that in my head and remembering about it, so KI4DOS, KI4LZI.
Join it, but, yeah, my heart attack, I had my heart attack, March was a year ago, so it's been about a year and a half, and I did not know they had changed everything in the last 2 or 3 months. I guess if I'd been coming over to the Pickens meetings, I'd probably know a little bit more about what's going on. But anyway, appreciate you hanging in there and talking with us a little bit this evening. Enjoyed it. We'll have to do it again sometime soon. We'll say 73 to you for now. We have additional check-ins all the way through the alphabet for the Blue Ridge 2-meter net. Call KI4DLS. Mike, that's going to about wrap it up this evening. Appreciate each and every one of you checked in with me tonight. Y'all come back again tomorrow night. Mr. Patrick, KO4HKX, will be calling. Give him a good dose of Rider's Cramp, and I will submit my net report electronically here, and we'll finish closing the net out. Net grand total of 44 tonight. We're a little bit light, but, you know, it's a Saturday, and all the college football games are going, and there's a lot of folks that love to go to their games and go support their favorite team. So, you know, we just have to grin and bear it this time of year. But, again, y'all come back again tomorrow night. Mr. Patrick will be calling to give him a good dose of Rider's Cramp. This is KI4DOS, now securing the Blue Ridge 2-meter net. With our thanks for all those folks checked in with us, we will now return the repeater to normal amateur use. 73, good night, God bless. This is KI4DOS, clear.
JBQ, KI4LZI.
4LZI, KK4JBQ here.
TV series, there was 2 episodes where they done that slingshot, in fact, went back in time. Then in Star Trek 3, they done the same type thing, and that's where the whale and all comes in to be.
I think you're right in that. It's the first one being a movie. They had a really big budget to do that. And the second one, I believe you said, was part of the regular television series. They may have been able to use some of the footage that they recorded. You know what I'm saying? They already had it in the can, and they wanted to use that, so they came up with the other one. They were both quite good. And, you know, I suppose if there's somebody out there listening to us now, if they haven't seen it yet, they probably don't have any interest. I don't know. But I grew up with that. I suppose I'm not sure when in the 60s the original series ran. What I found interesting was that Gene Roddenberry, who was the creator of Star Trek, before he passed away, he was working on what they call, I forget now what they call this kind of thing, but they go back before the foundation of the Federation, before it was ever a thing. They go back and produced another series with different actors and everything. It's the same ship by the same name. Of course, it's not the same ship design because it's earlier. It's the first faster than light travel Enterprise. And Scott Bakula plays the captain in this one. He did an awfully good job, I'll have to say. It was just as interesting as any of the movies or any of the TV series. It's a bit of history, and I'm glad that Roddenberry, before he passed away, was able to get that started, and they did a mighty fine job. Have you seen Enterprise? That's what they called this particular series. It showed on television. It has been on all the streaming services over time. Have you seen Enterprise? If you're a sports fan or if you're a fan of some television series like we're talking about, do you know what fan is short for? It's short for fanatic. And I guess that makes sense. I would have to admit that, you know, if I've seen something like 8 or 9 times, I know all the dialogue that's coming. I know exactly what's going to happen, and yet I still enjoy watching it. I guess you're fanatic when you feel that way. But I'm not ashamed of it. I really do enjoy. I enjoy the dialogue, what people say one to another. I lose all interest, especially in some movies that are based all on action on the screen. There's not much talking between individual characters in the movie, just a lot of action on the screen. Well, some people are tuned into that. They like that a lot, and that bores me to death. It's a lot of action on the screen. A lot of loud noises. That became popular, I think, with car racing, you know. Forget now exactly where that had its beginning. But there were movies, especially through the 80s and the 90s, well, right on up into the present, probably. And if it didn't have a car chase in it, people didn't find the thing interesting at all. I'm the same way about dialogue. If it's well-written dialogue, giving you lots of information and exposing the nature of the characters, that's storytelling. That's real storytelling. And that's what I like anyway. KK4JBQ.
That's just it. I got all these here either on VHS or DVD. And a lot of it, like I said, I remember. I've watched it in past months. I remember that. Back on the Kirk episodes of the late 60s, they went back in time one time by mistake. Then the next time, when it come up something like that, they done it intentionally. And they was in orbit over the U.S. here in 1968. Then in Star Trek III movie, they went back in time intentionally. old Klingon craft they did, and that's the one where they was trying to put the box in the carriage, the big box, to carry the water in the whale in. And believe it or not, a lot of times, just from what I remember, when I am able to see those things, I can look at what's going on now, and I can see where some of it is coming from. Like, it started out with the flip phones, the communicators, you know, that right there, and some of the so-called medical equipment that they had in sick bay there. You got certain parts of that that's in the real world, too.
Good point there. I think people whose business it is to write a movie script or a television script or whatever, if part of the setting is the future, they have to think long and hard about what so the communicator that flipped open with that, you know, it's a sound that everybody, I can't make the sound, dee 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 dee, or something like that. That communicator was long before flip phones, but you just gotta think that the people who designed the flip phone, they had that pattern to go by, you know. Not only was it, you know, it would open up that way, and the screen would be at the top, and the numbers would be at the bottom, you know. Well, maybe it's just natural. I don't know. As natural as a clam, which also has, it's a bivalve, I think. So it has a top and a bottom, and it opens up, a clam does. That's the example in nature. And a lot of times, if you're designing something for human use, well, I know for a fact that designers look at nature to see how nature does it. Truth is, we can't improve on the design of some things in nature. I'll give an example. For instance, a honeybee stores its nectar in the cells. It has six sides, a hexagon. And that six-sided cell, repeated throughout the hive, stores the honey. But it's also, and in the same way, just one, you know, the sides being shared by all the other cells around it, and it gets bigger and bigger. That's a very effective screen. It also will hold a lot of weight. So to have a honeycomb as part of the design of your whatever widget, you know, we're talking about, they took that directly from nature. And then there's a shell called a nautilus. It has internal chambers, really beautiful. You can take a nautilus after it's initially lived in there for a while. It abandons that because it's growing and it don't fit no more. So it has to make a new one of these, and it abandons the old one. You can pick that up and you can cut it right down the center. And the nautilus shows a really beautiful chamber. Well, look it up sometime. You'll see what I mean. Hard for me to describe. Nature gives us a lot of clues to what works well. I do think, as far as architecture is concerned, the arch that the Romans are credited for. Well, there's a lot of stuff in nature that naturally becomes an arch. some rocks do this with wind erosion. It's an arch, and that arch supports incredible weight. Well, I think the Romans observed nature. They observed that it carried a lot of weight, and so Roman architecture was the first human-made arches. They used it in every building they made. They could make large interior spaces with arches that supported great weight along the walls. The Egyptians, you go back that far, and you go into some of their temples, and they had to have columns. You know, let's say the building wasn't as big as a football field. Well, they had to have 40 columns in there to hold the roof up. But improvements were made, and the arch was involved. Well, Andy, I'm going to turn in. If I'm going to get up at sunrise, which if you have been listening, is my plan for tomorrow, I better be putting it to bed, and we're not long before your medication. So thank you for the conversation. It's always good to talk with you. But I'll sign off and let you get about your evening, too. This is KK4JBQ, and I'll be clear with you, Andy, 7-3.
KI4LZN, some people may not want to hear it. You're right. I can talk this stuff all night long about these different Star Trek series and things. I pretty much got most all of it in my head. That's why I remember certain things, even though I hadn't played them in a good while because of the situation, but I've kind of memorized it somewhat. KK4JBQ, KI4LZI.